Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
We know our education system isn't perfect, but it should be constantly evolving to try to focus on what the kids need the most, computer and coding proficiency, financial literacy. And I think knowing the difference between lager, stouts, ales, and porter, personally, I think is something the kids really need to figure out. But this isn't good. More than half of people admit they rely on Google more than their formal education, and the average person Googles 5 basic questions every day.
Right. I find now I'm having more and more time. Like, I second guess myself on whether or not I actually know something.
Mm.
Like, spelling would be one. Like, how do you spell that word? And I was like, I think it's this, but I better Google it to make sure.
Right, right. I'm really bad. I have this problem where I will, it's not so much with texting. It's more with email, where I will write an email. I will read that email. I will notice a couple of grammar things. I will fix that. I will read it again. I will hit send. I'll go back to the sent file to make sure it went and just to check it again, even though it's too late. And I'll always find another spelling mistake that I missed the first three times.
So we're so bad for that.
It's terrible. I remember I had to write a fairly important email about something work related. And,
is that the word where you threw me under the bus now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really wanted to make sure I got you under that bus good with it going full tilt boogie. And so I started the email like it was sometime in the morning, and I must have rewritten it, fixed it up, deleted, added. It went on all day, and I finally sent it at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, check it later. 3 or 4 spelling mistakes. Can't win. Cannot win. And that's even with spell check. And the other thing, too, and that, you know, it's a terrible thing to do. It's really a low blow. But it's the immediate go-to. If you're in an argument with somebody, especially with listeners, if they get mad at us for something and we're going back and forth, the second they can't spell, you're like...
All of a sudden, we become grammar experts.
Yeah. Maybe you should learn how to spell before you have opinions on things. It's a low blow.
But, I mean, when it's a first impression...
Sure.
You know, like... You know, if we get a letter from someone who wants to be an intern, or I'm sure it happens all the time in businesses, like cover letters and resumes, you see a mistake on there and boom, you eliminate that person right away. Like, how many jobs have been lost?
Sure.
Careers because of a spelling mistake.
Speaking of interns, so we have 3 radio stations in this building, and one of our stations must have an intern because I've seen her sitting in the control room with the morning show. A few days now, and she's just sitting there staring at her laptop, and I'm just thinking, she must be having just a hoot, fully engaged. Yeah. Well, and this is the problem, I think, for a lot of people in school. When we were kids, we would say, well, why do I gotta learn math? I'll have a calculator. Well, nowadays, why do I gotta learn anything? I can just ask Google.
Right.
You know, and that's a problem. Most people say they'd be willing to take an adult crash course on things like managing their money, doing their taxes, home buying and mortgages. Financial literacy is so important because not only can you really, you know, run up your lines of credit and your visas and get in a lot of trouble, but it can ruin families.
Right.
Because financial worry is the number one cause of marital breakups.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're both panicked and you're maybe pointing fingers at each other for someone to blame.
Right.
So it really is important.
Well, and it's, I mean, listen, people know this is my paycheck and this is what I owe. Mm. Yeah, okay, that's the basic math of it. But, I mean, talk about, you know, yesterday the Bank of Canada and the key rate announcement that they're keeping the key rate at 5%. But forecasters say, you know, there could be some drops in June. It won't fall as quickly as it went up.
Right.
But for the most part, people hear that and go, well, I guess that's a good thing. You really don't know, right? And even those, you know, when you get into debt and credit cards and, you know, compound interest.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had, I think it was Jim Flaherty. I think yesterday was the anniversary of his passing. But when he was finance minister, he brought in that rule that on your credit card statement, they have to show you how long it will take to pay off if you only use the minimum payment. But that's part of financial literacy because people just didn't understand. They said, I'm making the payment on my credit card.
Yeah.
So I assume I'm paying it off. Well, no, you're only covering the interest. And the thing is still growing.
Yeah, it'll say 35 years, 45 years. You'll never see the end of this. So financial literacy, lager, stouts, ales, and porters.
Right.
That's the thing.
All you need to know.
Why spend 4 years at college and you can get a complete education at your own pace at Google University?
Why do men have nipples?
Does farting burn calories?
At Google University, you're hands-on and interactive.
Do penguins have knees?
No sitting for hours listening to lectures or reading books.
Why do we yawn?
At Google U, you'll embrace curiosity and answer life's real questions.
Why don't we pronounce 11-1-T-1?
From quantum physics to cat memes.
Don't you hate it when a sentence doesn't end the way you think it, octopus?
Google University.
Am I pregnant?
Are aliens real?
When will I die?
It's free and just a click away.
Craig and Lucky.
Weekday mornings on 94.9 The Rock.
When do the playoffs get going?
Regular season ends next Wednesday, so.
So Leafs will be done by May 1st or 2nd, we can only hope.
It'll be interesting. Leaf fans are wavering as they always do around this time of year, whether or not their team can get it done. First and foremost, get the regular season done and see if Austin Matthews can get to 70, and then go on from there. But it is not easy to win when you look at the teams that ramp up. And how tight it is in the standings.
Yeah, and I guess they'd be facing Florida and the Panthers, and then
if it were to end today, yeah, it'll change.
Inevitably, Boston, which is always a curse.
Well, listen, Florida's hard enough. Carolina is ramped up. They've been very good, and yeah, Boston's got goaltending still. Tampa in the conversation. There's a lot of teams out there, and then you got, of course, the West, which looks really strong this year.
Yeah. Well, let's not worry about them. You got to get through the East first.
To the final first.
The West can sit there until you're able to solve this other issue, but we shall see. You know, and as they say in the hockey, I mean, I say it all the time in the hockey, Austin Matthews can get 150 goals in a season. If they don't go past the first round, none of that matters.
Yeah, you know, for the most part. I mean, the fact that he decided to stick around and sign a contract for a couple extra years in Toronto is a good thing for Leafs fans, but you're right. It's, you know, the regular season is what it is. At the end of it, you know, it's the playoff success, and there's only one team that wins the cup, and for Leaf fans, it hasn't been them for way too long.
I know I'm right about hockey, Lucky.
Yeah.
Because I know the game.
And you keep saying the word. You owe probably $6-7 right there.
It's only you.
Only?
Yeah, that's... Look at the fine print. It's only you.
How the hell does this work?
Because you're the one with the problem. I don't have a problem. I'm only bringing
you
it up.
You should owe double for goading me into it.
I'm only, you know what? Okay, that's also in the fine print, and I didn't mention that. Because I brought it up,
right?
You don't have to pay.
Okay.
If I instigate a conversation,
gotcha.
I only do it because the cult is getting frenzied right now as we get close to the playoffs. So I know we're going to have to speak about it as much as I begrudge talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know when the Leafs make the playoffs and hopefully go down four straight, then I never have to mention it again for another year. All right, who's going to see Mr. Idol?
Donna Duda.
Donna Duda. All right, Billy Idol. That'd be great. I never saw Billy Idol, but I remember in the 80s when Dancing With Myself came out. I love that song. To this day, I still love that song. I'll sing along with that and the Moni Moni and the whole thing.
Right.
Think everybody will be screaming at the Scotiabank.
Oh, it'll big time sing along. Yeah.
Now, I hear, and I'm very excited about this, Billy Idol has redone Dancing With Myself.
Oh.
And it sounds great.
When the wife heads out of town and there's no one else around, well, I open the lotion and I start the motion. I'm playing with myself. When I have the chance, I reach into my pants. I'm playing with myself. I got a tingle in my bone, so I quick pick up the phone. While I'm dialing the number, I'm oiling the lumber. I'm playing with myself. Well, the chick's a little teaser, So I charge it to my Visa. And I lay on the couch and tug at my pouch. I'm playing with myself. I'm playing with myself. I'm playing with myself. When I have the chance, I reach into my pants. When I have the chance, I reach into my pants. When I have the chance, I reach into my pants.
Craig and Lucky.
Weekday mornings
on 94.9 The Rock.
Lucky, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
How do you sleep with yourself at night?
Very comfortably.
Had an interesting conversation yesterday with a couple of gentlemen that we both know. And the fact that you basically almost ran them into complete and utter bankruptcy.
Okay.
Destroying their business.
Right.
And then literally walking away and wiping your hands of it. Not a hint of concern or remorse or what can I do to help.
Right.
Just a big screw you and you peel out of there like you're Vin Diesel.
Okay.
Talking about Jeff and Matt at Attention to Detail.
Ah, yes, the mechanics.
Yes. Once were mechanics. It's now a donut shop. Because you decided literally to shut their business down by destroying their door where they for weeks couldn't let any cars in. Families went hungry. Mortgages weren't paid.
Right.
Dogs starved at the side of the road because you and your just me lifestyle, you took a man's business that him and his son have worked sweat, tears to the bone.
Right.
You ruin it and drive away.
I drove by yesterday. The door was open. So yeah, it still works.
They're turning it into a donut shop. They had to take the door down. It's not actually there anymore.
Let me clarify the situation. Yeah. I had taken my car there.
Uh-huh.
And Jeff took it out for a test drive, a roadworthy drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came back, there's like windows through the door.
Right.
And he got to the door and honked, to which, having been there so many times, you know, there's a chain that they just pull and opens up the door. He kept honking and looking at me through that window. Matt, his son, was taking care of another customer in the at the cash in the little office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he was trying to get Matt's attention, but Matt was busy at the time. He kept honking.
Mm.
And so me, stupidly thinking, how hard can it be to pull a chain?
Mm-hmm.
I guess pulled the chain wrong. I don't know how.
You pulled that chain and wrapped it around his neck is right. What you did. He choked the business out of him. That's what you did.
Right.
Now, if I was a judge and you were standing in front of me and this was your defense, you're going to prison.
Oh, really?
Because did you or did you not yank that chain?
I did yank the chain.
Then you broke the door. I don't care if he was honking and bleeding out his eyes.
Right.
You yanked the chain.
But this happened weeks ago.
Of a business. Right.
Right.
And they're still struggling and trying to get back on their feet. And thankfully, a guy like me taking two cars to them
right.
who respect the local businessman.
I do take two cars. I took three cars to him.
Yeah, well, you should give him all three cars for the value of the business you've destroyed. And I spoke to them yesterday, and they are barely holding it together.
Well, one, I sheepishly offered to pay.
And then didn't.
No, he's got to call me and let me know how much.
He told you a number.
No, he didn't.
He did, from what I understand, $37,000. Plus mental bills,
yeah.
Doctor's visits.
Right.
So you best cough it up.
Wow. A little worried the next time I take the car in there.
I'm just happy that I can sleep at night knowing I support local business.
You've been keeping them afloat with your cars.
If it weren't for me, they would have been out of business a long time ago. So Matt just told me yesterday, hey, tell Lucky, break his balls.
Right.
Ask him where our money is.
Oh, okay.
And he made a good laugh about it. So I don't necessarily think that they really care. But you should pay.
I offered to.
I'm going
to
keep track of this. Because I can guarantee you there's not dime one coming out of your back pocket. O.J. Simpson has passed away. And in all of my years of doing this job and speaking of many people who have passed, I don't think I've ever said, who cares?
Right.
Who cares? And it's more important probably to focus on the two people somebody killed in Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. And I looked up some stuff on Nicole because she was really only ever known as OJ's wife and then ex-wife. And I can't really find if she had any real, like, career desires.
Was she a model before that?
Was she a model? Yeah, well, she was stunningly beautiful, so she probably was. She met OJ, and they married, and she was dead by the time she was 35. So even if she had career plans, she would have had a lot of time ahead of her to do anything she wanted, and somebody took that away from her. And Ron Goldman, who was just talk about the wrong place at the wrong time, he was taking back a pair of glasses that her mother, Nicole Brown, had left at the restaurant he worked at. And
okay.
Nicole had called the restaurant to say, hey, my mom left her glasses. If you find them, can you let me know? He found them. They were friends. It was often rumored if they were lovers or boyfriend-girlfriend.
Well, they tried to bring that up at the trial, right?
Yeah. Right. Both of them said always that they were just friends. They had gone out for some meals together. She had lent him his car or her car a couple of times, but there was nothing going on, according to both of them. So anyhow, the glasses were found, and he took them to her house at the moment this all went down. Like, just terrible. And he was only 25 years old. You know, when you saw the photos of him, he looked older.
Right.
You know, and I didn't realize that he was that young, or I'm sure I knew at the time but hadn't thought about it. And looking into his life, he had big dreams. He wanted to be a restaurant owner. He was studying the restaurant business. He had been a fairly successful tennis player and had done a lot of tennis coaching. So he had a whole life ahead of him as well.
Yeah.
And both of them losing their lives. And, of course, the Goldman family went after O.J. relentlessly. If you remember the trial, how heartbreaking it was to see Ron Goldman's sister just sobbing in the court.
Yeah, and father.
Yeah. When the verdict was read.
Yeah, and then he went to the civil trial and won that. Although I didn't see much money. I think they saw like a little tiny fraction of the millions that they were owed with that after that civil decision.
$33.5 million is what they were supposed to get. And you're right, they saw very little. In today's dollars, including interest, the Simpson estate owes the Goldmans about $100 million. And Ron Goldman's father, Fred, says that they are going after the estate for their money. So,
right.
And, of course, Fred released a statement. You don't hear much from the Brown family. They've really kept quiet after all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the Goldmans continue to and did continue to pursue OJ any chance they had. And he just simply said that the only thing I have to say is it's just further reminder of Ron being gone all these years. 30 years, June of 94.
Right. Now, the Brown family, things are a little bit different in that case in the sense that they had to still, if they wanted any contact with the children.
Right.
They still had to kind of, I guess, keep things in check.
Yep. Yeah. No, a difficult situation all around. And, you know, I think often of the Goldman family, and I think of, well, that's a bit of a lie. I don't, honestly. I thought of them. Interestingly enough, just the other day, because the Mahaffey and French family names came up again. And in this country, they've had to sit and watch as Paul Bernardo, although in prison, has been able to still carry on a life. So much so that when he was at Millhaven, which is maximum security, he's now been moved to minimum security or medium.
Yeah.
When you get your conjugal visits, which I guess all prisoners do, he obviously was not having that because Carla Homolka was unavailable.
Right.
But his parents would go and visit him. And it turns out a plumber that did work in Millhaven, he worked for a company that had the plumbing contract with the prison. Him and other plumbers have all said this. They would see Paul. They weren't allowed to interact with him or talk to him. But they would see him around the conjugal cabins or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be having a barbecue with his parents.
Right.
A barbecue. A barbecue the Mahaffeys and the French families were never allowed to have with their children.
No, and you know, and in those cases, you know, it's every breath he takes is an insult to the family,
yeah.
Right? And how many feel about that. And you know, I'm sure the Goldmans felt the same way about OJ.
Yeah,
and sure. And, you know, and sort of watching him you know, on the golf course and still, you know, a celebrity in some circles, although he was shunned by many.
Right. Yeah, that's, you're right. It's probably even tougher for them because he was able to still go out to nice restaurants and live a life.
At least Bernardo was in prison. Yeah. Like, you know, it's tough to hear about, you know, prisoners and some of the things that they're afforded, and like him going to this medium security. At one point, it had like a skating rink.
Jesus.
Right? You think, okay, let's give these guys blades and see what happens.
Right. But, and then OJ was allowed to go to Vegas and rob people. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, that one, he did some time for.
Yeah. There was only one person who went after OJ as much as Fred Goldman, and that was Norm MacDonald.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Now, he lost his job at SNL just because he would not stop with the OJ jokes.
Right.
Like the West Coast president of NBC, Don Olmeyer, I think was his name, he kept saying to Lorne Michaels, tell him to knock it off, because Don was golfing buddies with OJ.
Right.
And every time Lauren told Norm MacDonald to stop it, he would ramp it up even more. It'd be like, you know, Doug Elliott telling us, guys, cut it out with the such and such.
Right.
And we just keep digging in.
We do that.
Yeah, we do. That's true.
Guys, shut up and play music.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyhow, Norm MacDonald lost his job at SNL because he wouldn't stop with this stuff.
Well, let's get to OJ. OJ Simpson's lawyers say they don't want the families of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman in the courtroom during the trial. They're afraid the presence of the family members will just remind OJ of how much more killing he still has to do. It was revealed this week that defense lawyer Johnny Cochran once abused his first wife. In his defense, Cochran said, hey, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know. This week at the O.J. Simpson trial, the infamous bloody glove was finally introduced into evidence, and O.J. didn't help his case any by blurting out, there it is, I've been looking all over for that thing. In his book, O.J. Simpson says that he would have taken a bullet or stood in front of a train for Nicole. Man, I'm going to tell you, that is some bad luck when the one guy who would have died for you kills you. That's probably... You don't get worse luck than that. Tomorrow, Judge Lancito will take O.J. and the jury on a tour of the now famous crime scene. For the jury, it will be their first look at the actual location. Of course, for O.J., it will be just a case of been there, done that.
Craig and Lucky.
Weekday mornings on 94.9 The Rock.
Eminem is asking his fans, his stans, for their help with an upcoming documentary. It's untitled, but it seems to be all about the fans or the stans. He tweeted out a link to a survey with questions like, how did the fan first hear about Eminem? If they consider themselves a stan, if they collect his merch or write fan fiction, and if they've ever been to Detroit. He also asked for a one-minute video explaining why they are Eminem's biggest fan. And if you don't know, stan is a reference to a song in 2000 about a very unhinged stalker fan.
Right.
Yeah, it's a pretty dark tune. Oh, Madonna, Madge, complaining again. She really is turning into a little old woman. Is it the Eddie Murphy bit when he talks about his grandmother going, is it cold in here? Turn up the heat, baby. What time is it? Make me a little tea with lemon. Well, this is exactly what Madonna did. In the middle of a show in Miami, she started complaining about the air conditioning and making it too cold in the arena.
Are you serious?
And she stops the show. She says, you don't know how much I've been waiting for this whole effing show. I'm working my ass off. I deserve it. Respect me. The show will not go on until you respect me. Is it cold in here?
Wow.
She's a lunatic.
So in Miami, she wants the heat on.
Yeah, I guess so. Wouldn't it melt her fake face?
Was she Harold Ballard? She wants to get some more water sales going.
She's looking more and more like Harold Ballard. Oh, she is a thing. She truly is. If you were a fan of Melrose Place in the 90s, it was on from 1992 to 1999. Well, Melrose is coming back with some of the original stars, including Heather Locklear as Amanda.
Wow.
I remember watching it because the lovely Maria watched it, and so I watched it with her. But there was some very attractive women on that show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go back and watch, although I wouldn't be probably as attracted. Some years have gone by. Some work has been done. It's like when you watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you see the videos of the band at their prime.
Right, yeah.
And then they kind of hobble up those steps. Amanda's going to have a cane. Kevin Costner says he would consider returning to Yellowstone. Yeah, I guess that's what divorce and alimony does to a guy.
I'll consider it.
Yeah. He says he'd like to kind of circle out, finish the story of his character, John Dutton. But I guess the reason he left was he was having a fight with the creator, somebody named Taylor Sheridan. So I guess they've got to patch things up before he can show up again.
Okay.
I thought it was done after he left.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it is, but it's...
I don't know. I didn't watch it. Although I've seen lots of clips of it, I really do want to get into it because it looks... You know, the clips look entertaining.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, and somebody said that it was rather slow.
Right.
It's kind of why I couldn't get into Better Call Saul. I know a lot of people thought it was even better than Breaking Bad. But the Saul character was so great in Breaking Bad, and it takes him forever to become Saul in Better Call Saul. He's like Jimmy, his original character. Anyhow, Halle Berry had to learn an interesting little trick for her new movie. The movie's called Never Let Go. It's a thriller, and she plays a mom living off the grid and trying to protect her kids from some kind of apocalyptic event. Well, she had to learn how to skin a squirrel.
Ew.
I don't know if a real squirrel was skinned. Probably just had to watch some sort of video, perhaps.
No squirrels were harmed
in
the making of this film.
That's right. They're shaving little squirrels down to use the squirrel hair. And this isn't very John Wick. Keanu Reeves fractured his knee tripping on a rug.
Ouch.
Back in January, Keanu Reeves was seen using crutches on the set of an upcoming movie called Good Fortune. It's being directed by Aziz Azaria, and he revealed how it happened. He says, we were about 15 days into shooting, and I said to Keanu, go chill in your trailer. He tripped on a rug in his trailer. Poor guy, he was such a trooper. He fractured his kneecap and continued to do all the scenes. He brought up a good point, too, Aziz. He says, you know, the guy made John Wick and Speed, never went to the hospital once. In my movie, he plays an angel named Gabriel, and he hurts himself.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.